If you enjoyed podcasts like this, you should check out our other shows on Health Podcast Network. For example, Nurse Wellness Podcast, hosted by Wendy Garvin Mayo, focuses on the power of stress management and how it's foundational to being your best, doing your best, and giving your best. There's a wonderful episode that you should check out called Letting Go, where Wendy Garvin Mayo shares 6 strategies to release control and manage stress effectively. Check out Nurse Wellness Podcast on your favorite podcast platform or visit healthpodcastnetwork.com.
I'm Dr. Tara, and this is Hopeful Hints, a podcast where you'll receive quick, hopeful hints on all things women's health and infertility. Here, you will find education, inspiration, and most importantly, find peace and empowerment as you walk through the next steps in your healthcare journey.
Welcome to Hopeful Hints. I am Dr. Tara, and today we're continuing our conversation on fertility. In the last week of April is always Infertility Awareness Week. We believe in Infertility Awareness Month. So we're going to do topics all week long. We're doubling up. You'll see on the podcast, we're talking about male factors, sperm, testosterone, as well as some other different topics on fertility. So we're going to talk today about fertility awareness and education and what I think everyone should know. You might be surprised at how basic this actually is, but how in our practice, I'd find it goes undiscussed, untalked about far too often. So again, just want to validate that 1 in 6 individuals and couples find themselves worldwide going through infertility. That number has changed from 1 in 8. And I am part of that statistic. And so I totally understand from my personal level, and that is what has drove me into this profession and will continue to lead me to fight and advocate for access to healthcare insurance and understanding and breaking stigmas down that go along with this disease, because it is a disease. Again, we must recognize that infertility is a medical disease, and we have to understand the financial and emotional burdens that go along with it. I really shouldn't say we, because hello, we understand that if we're in it, others need to understand that it's not, oh, I want to have a baby and it's not happening. There's financial burdens, there's emotional burdens, the mental health that goes along with it is significant. So I really hope to help break down some of these walls and even have people maybe who don't have infertility start listening to this stuff as well. And so again, it's a medical disease, and oftentimes I get asked too, like, do I have to try for 12 months? Well, it really depends. Like, do you have any concerning symptoms that might indicate that you have an underlying disease that's causing the infertility? Because if so, the answer is no. And again, far too often, locally, nationwide, with my patients that I coach, I see they had very obvious symptoms when the first question was asked to their initial healthcare provider. Can I come in to get testing? Healthcare provider only asks, have they been trying for 12 months? That's the only screening question. And they haven't met that 12-month mark, or depending on age, 6 months, and they get turned down right away. And they have symptoms of PCOS, anovulation, endometriosis, thyroid disorders, male factor fertility. And this could have been caught earlier. So as a whole, providers, again, I feel like some of my episodes I'm doing are really like healthcare provider based, but I want to empower you, the patient, as well, to understand if you get told no when something doesn't sit right or feel right, just find a different healthcare provider. Even if you have been going to this person for your yearly exams for so long, you can go back to them. A lot of institutions are extremely busy and don't have time to get updated on the latest things that are going on in the fertility space. Guidelines change very rapidly, even with PCOS, for example. And so you're in the power of when is it time to get checked and ready for fertility? It was yesterday. And I even preach a lot of preconception testing. Like if you're about to get married, if you just got married, that's the time really when we should be doing fertility assessments on you. Because again, we're going to be looking for signs and symptoms and underlying things that might lead to, hey, we need to dial in on this and improve this level and go down this path before you're ready. And so, again, infertility is not a choice. It's not a lifestyle consequence or a matter of insufficient effort. It's a disease. There's a health condition underlying that needs addressing and a diagnosis and treatment. Just like any other disease, infertility spans and affects men and women equally, in my opinion. And we're always checking the male at the first appointment of checking the female, that's a question that's built in. And if there's anything off, anything like other than green on a home yo sperm test, we are checking things. Let's talk about the financial burden. So one of the most daunting aspects of infertility is the lack of coverage that many of you have. And if you have coverage, it maxes out. You have a lifetime amount. And it really puts the couple seeking treatment in a very hard decision. Like, do we sell this, refinance this, move? Let alone there's religion aspects that go into things too, especially with IVF. And again, just having this out-of-pocket cost puts a big strain on it. I really want to encourage you to seek out grants and look for really unique ways. Work with, you know, if you absolutely have to work with a financial institution that understands that. There's companies out there that specifically work with financing fertility treatment. So just know that nowadays there are great options out there if you do absolutely have to go down that road to help make ends meet. The emotional mental impact, again, I will not say it enough, it does not get talked about, and that's for men and women. And so there's this huge burden, you know, strain, tension. Maybe one feels this or wants to do this from a treatment, the other doesn't. And it leaves frustration, sadness, inadequacy. You know, I've seen a lot of times too, the men feel very inadequate, especially if they feel helpless. They're black and white. They want to help us no matter what it is. The male naturally wants to be able to help. And when they can't, that's hard on them. And so studies have actually shown that individuals facing infertility may experience depression and anxiety at rates, are you ready for this, comparable to those who are diagnosed with cancer. And so this has been studied to be just as mentally impactful as receiving the diagnosis of cancer. It's silent, and there's a lot of social like taboos and misconceptions and dumb comments that come along with it too. So why would you say anything and why would you share that? So this next part is for those that are not going through it, and maybe you just want to hit send on it to somebody you know. But let's talk about support over advice. And when we start discussing fertility with others, we are met with people who I think are trying to offer support, and giving advice just becomes crude. Like it turns into this conversation that is more hurtful upon us going through infertility. It's unsolicited advice. However, if it is well-intentioned, that's amazing, but it can really lead to feeling dismissed or judged to someone experiencing infertility. So, of course, the classic phrase is like, oh, just relax or get drunk. That's a word from me. Or have you tried X, Y, Z? Like, individuals have tried A through Z, not just X, Y, Z. So you can assure yourself that no matter what you're about to say to them, it's been tried. They've read about it. And it really minimizes that individual's plan and medical reality that this is a disease. So instead of offering advice, just offer a listening ear, acknowledge them, ask, what can I do for you? Provide emotional support without judgment. Don't bring your own personal thoughts, beliefs, what you would or wouldn't do into it. It's about validating their feelings, letting them know they're not alone. You're going to be there for them, check in on them every now and then, and just keep that communication judgment free. So I'm all about fostering a supportive community. I also have a nonprofit supporting infertility in North Dakota and South Dakota called Everlasting Hope. And so I'm huge on fostering support groups, but really also educating the broader public about infertility. I have been going to legislation for over 6 years to try to break down these barriers in the medical insurance side of it, but I continue to do that at a public standpoint, any opportunity I get to. So it should be understood that, again, infertility is a disease, and really have a hard time when, again, people bring their own personal or religion aspect into it. Like, that's fine. You can do that, but it should not be pushed upon everybody because we're all unique individuals. And especially when it comes to medicine, I believe that every individual should get to make their own decisions about what's right. And that might change, advance, and look different as they move through months and years of treatment as well. So really, it's respecting the emotional journey of that individual. And healthcare providers also play a really critical role in early diagnosing, spotting signs of it, treatment, offering a path forward. It's not uncommon for me to have teen women in my office and they're like, will this impact my fertility? And I say, you know what? You're so lucky that you're in here at age 16 and we're talking about this now. So when that time comes in your life, you will have understanding of the disease at hand here that we are finding today. And I also just want people to understand it's infertility is complex. It's a multifaceted issue that requires compassion, understanding, and action from everybody. And so let's go back to talking about advocacy. If there's ever a time where patients need to come forward and advocate, it's now. Because as we know, at the time this recording is 2024, there was a lot of big conversations and happenings with state laws and regulations, specifically in Alabama, which caused even the current president to start talking and saying the word IVF and infertility. And what I got interviewed by many different national reporters during that time. And the common theme was just because it happens in a state across the country does not mean it's not about to happen in our own back door. And sure enough, right here in North Dakota, just like I suspected, there was a movement. And who knows where this is going to go at time of you listening to this too. Our session so far till 2025. But there was a movement to deem life starts at fertilization, which with that one sentence would shut down the fertility clinic in our state. So being aware of how federal and state legislation impacts this disease and getting angry and getting emotional and getting active and getting involved and passion is so important right now. And if you're a family or friend listening to this, you should be just as involved because your voice also matters. I have moms testifying during legislation. I have friends. I have women who aren't even ready to have children yet, but they know they have a disease that's leading to infertility. So with this episode, I'm going to leave you with really understanding infertility as a medical disease, fostering support, supporting your mental health, supporting you as a couple, as an individual is crucial and important. And that those around us really need to have an understanding of what to say, what not to say, and then find a community, find an online support group, an in-person support group, one person to share and connect with that maybe you feel confident with sharing your disease with, or maybe that you've shared other things before with. And knowing you're not alone. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode.
If you enjoyed podcasts like this, you should check out our other shows on Health Podcast Network. For example, Nurse Wellness Podcast, hosted by Wendy Garvin Mayo, focuses on the power of stress management and how it's foundational to being your best, doing your best, and giving your best. There's a wonderful episode that you should check out called Letting Go, where Wendy Garvin Mayo shares 6 strategies to release control and manage stress effectively. Check out Nurse Wellness Podcast on your favorite podcast platform or visit healthpodcastnetwork.com.